So last week I asked you to think about where you were headed, what direction you were headed in. Remember, we said last week this principle, Andy Stanley calls it the principle of the path, that direction, not intention, determines destination. And maybe, hopefully you wrote that down. It is an axiom. It is a truth. It isn't something that you choose to apply to your life. It's something that applies itself to you, whether you want it to or not. And that is the direction that you are going, not where you want to end up. The direction that you are going determines where you end up. And so we, in looking back at 2018 and what happened in our lives in 2018, all of us ended 2018 in the exact spot that we were headed. Based on the decisions that we made, and even in the case where decisions of other people impact us, we still have the power to choose how we respond to those. It's direction, not intention, that determines destination. And so I left you with a couple of questions. The first was just to take a step back and to look back on 2018 and think, okay, what direction am I headed? Where, if I plot points on a graph in terms of my relationships with my kids, in terms of my relationships with my parents, in terms of my marriage, in terms of my finances, in terms of my spiritual life, what direction am I headed? If I plot points and draw a line, there's a trajectory. Where are you headed? And then the second question was, what's your next move? Because if direction, not intention, determines destination, what steps do I need to take in order to end up somewhere different in 2019? See, if it's direction that determines destination, Jesus doesn't offer us a quick fix solution, but he offers us a new pathway. And so what is my next step with Jesus? What's the next step I need to take in order to end up somewhere different in 2019? And so as we continue, today take an opportunity to look forward into 2019, we're going to use this text in Mark chapter 1 as a springboard. Let's pray and just ask God to give us wisdom as we think about his word. Father, we do thank you for your word. Your word that tells us who you are, that tells us who we are. And Father, we pray that you would work in us. We pray, God, that you would take us today and that you would give us a big vision of what you want to do in us and through us in the coming year. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Would you take a few moments and just pray for yourself and just ask God to speak to your heart today, to challenge you, to encourage you this morning. Then would you take a few minutes and pray for me, that God might use me, be faithful to his word. Father, we love you. We are thankful for all that you do. We thank you that you are moving in us. We pray that you would help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, one of the books is called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And there's a character that I think he's introduced in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. His name is Eustace Clarence Shrub. And what a name, right? You're bound to have difficulty if that's your name. Well, this kid's kind of an awkward kid. He's he's kind of snobbish and arrogant, kind of full of himself, and just a really awkward kind of guy. He's quarrelsome. He likes to poke at the other kids. And there comes a scene in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader where they end up on an island. And as Eustace wanders off from the group because he doesn't want to do any work, he wanders off from the group and he witnesses something really interesting. A dragon is dying. And of course, everybody knows that where there is a dragon, there's gold and riches and diamonds and rubies, right? The dragon's keep. And so Eustace wanders in and he sees all this gold and all this, these riches from where this dragon was living. And he begins to get greedy in his heart. He begins to start to jealously desire all these things around him. And he picks up a gold bracelet and puts it, slides it up his arm. He has to slide it way up here to the top because his arm's so skinny. But he slides it all the way up. And then he kind of dozes off. And when he awakens, he comes to realize that through his greed, that he himself has become a dragon. That he himself has become this dragon. And here's the way he says it. Lewis says it. He had turned into a dragon while he was asleep, sleeping on the dragon's hoard with greedy, dragonish thoughts in his heart. He had become a dragon himself. You know, idols in our lives are dangerous things. They end up enslaving us. Now, all of us have idols. And look, I don't just mean like little statues that we acquired in some foreign country. You know, most of our idols are much more subtle than that. Some of them are close to the surface, and then there are others that are further down that we have to dig a little deeper for. But idols, these are things that we love or trust in or serve more than God, our Heavenly Father. See, the thing about idols is idols promise to give us meaning and purpose. They promise to give us the joy that we so long for. And yet, when all is said and done, they're scams. They're frauds. They can't deliver on what they promise. The interesting thing about idols is in the beginning, we take hold of idols to do for us what we want them to do for us. And yet what happens is then idols begin to take hold of us. And we begin to do what they want. Now, there's the obvious idols, right? I mean, C.S. Lewis hit on one. Money is an obvious idol, right? We've all had experience ourselves, or we know somebody that started looking to money to do for them what only God could do for them. Power is another obvious idol. You know, success is an obvious idol. You know, some kind of material possession. It's an obvious idol. But there are subtle ones too. Family can become an idol. A marriage or kids can become idols if we look to them to give us something that God wants to give us. How about this one? Control. That's my favorite idol, by the way, personally. The idol of being in control. Man, doesn't it feel good to be in control? Or to at least have the illusion of being in control. That's a subtle idol that can draw us away from what God wants to do in us. But these counterfeit gods are ultimately frauds. They can't deliver on their what they promise us. But here's the thing. They are at war within us to draw us away from our Heavenly Father. Every day, vying to get us to follow after them. And only God is able to destroy them. Only God is able to destroy them and give us true meaning and true purpose and true passion. In Mark chapter 1, I asked Russ to read verses 14 all the way through 20. But in verses 14 and 15, Jesus is proclaiming the good news that God is on the move through him. It's the good news that God is doing something new through Jesus. And he says in 14 and 15, he says, today is the day. He says, the time is now. And so the response that he calls for is one of turning. He says, so turn and repent and believe this message. And that proclamation that he makes of the presence of this thing that we call the gospel, the good news, the proclamation confronts and it forces us to make a decision. Will we put aside those things that we were following, those things that we were looking to, and turn and place our trust in Jesus and what he wants to do? See, this is what confronts us in those verses around this message of Jesus. Will we turn from what we're following to trust in Christ? And even as believers, we are still confronted with this message because God is still at work in us, isn't he? He's still at work in us. And so this message of turning from what we are looking to following after Jesus still confronts us every day. So the good news of the gospel that Jesus delivers in verses 14 and 15 still demands from us a continual daily response, in which we say, I am going to follow after Jesus and trust in him. Well, in verses 16 to 20, I want us to spend most of our time there. In verses 16 to 20, Mark tells us the story of four men who were confronted with this message of Jesus. Jesus arrives at the Sea of Galilee, where he finds four fishermen. Now, Mark, in his account, doesn't tell us a lot. He's not interested in detail. What he wants us to see is the urgency of this call that Jesus makes on the lives of these men. It seems that these men have heard Jesus. They've heard him preaching what he's just said. But God wants to do something new in them. He wants to make them something new. And that's the gospel. It's the good news that God takes what Francis Schaeffer called this glorious ruin, that he wants to take this broken life and he wants to reshape it and make it into something new, redeeming it, buying it back, purchasing it for himself in order that he might make it into something beautiful and something new. So how will these men respond when they are confronted with the demand that Jesus is going to place on them? See, the book of Mark is all about discipleship, or we might say followership. That's what a disciple is, a follower. It's all about what it means to follow Jesus. And so I want us to consider today, as we kick off this new year, what I hope will be a year of following after Jesus. I want us to consider what that looks like. Will we follow our idols, or will we follow our King? Because we all follow someone. Even if you don't think you do, you do. All of us follow someone. And every day of 2019, we're going to be confronted with this message that God wants to make us new. And so will we follow? Well, I want us to consider these guys. I want to show you what it means to follow Jesus. And I want to highlight two things. The first thing that we see is that followers forsake all. Followers forsake all. The faithful follow by forsaking all else. So to daily respond to the gospel is to daily choose every day, every moment, to put aside the other things that we are following that are calling out to us to follow after the Lord Jesus. Following requires movement. The action of following after something is dynamic. It isn't something static that we do. Jesus, in our text, approaches a couple of guys. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he issues this simple call in verse 17. Jesus said to them, "Follow me. Come after me. Come, follow," depending on how your translation reads. "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." So he approaches these guys. He says, "Come and follow after me." And immediately at that point, they are confronted with a decision, aren't they? What are these guys going to do? It's urgent. It's the idea of, hey, the king is here. Just told you. The king is here. The kingdom is coming. So let's go. Let's go. And then in verse 19, presumably the same call goes out again. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending their net. And presumably he gives the same call to them. Come, follow after me. Follow. This is the gospel. The good news of all that God is doing in Jesus, in saving us and transforming us and leading us into the kingdom of God. It's dynamic. It's dynamic. It moves as we follow after him. It's the gospel is not a box that we ticked back in 1984 and then we kind of go into sleep mode. Now, the gospel is something that we daily respond to. There is an entry point at which we are forgiven and given new life. But there is a continual aspect in which we continually respond in faith to what God is doing in us. It's a declaration that God is working continually to renew us as we follow Jesus. Now that is good news. That is good news. All of us have things in our life that we would like to change about ourselves. All of us have struggles and difficulties. See, God loves you. He loves me the way I am. But because he loves me, he will not let me stay the way I am. He is at work in us to change us and make us new. And listen, deep down inside, all of us understand that that is good news. Because I know me. And I know that deep down inside of me, there are things that I wish I could change. But I can't, because they're so deeply embedded in me. But it is God who changes us. Through the gospel, he continually brings about our renewal. To follow after Jesus is to forsake everything else. It's an exclusive deal. It's an exclusive relationship, not unlike a wedding vow. It's an exclusive vow. You enter into following after a leader who is going to lead you into this new life of change is when you trust in Jesus as a follower. That's what these guys here do. Jesus says, follow me. Verse 17, and I will make you become fishers of men. And verse 18, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. They leave everything to follow after this new master. When we come to James and John in verse 19 and 20, immediately he called them and they left their father Zebedee and followed him. They respond to the call of God by leaving everything else in order to follow Jesus. And listen, they had a lot to lose in doing that. Not only the livelihood, the only livelihood they knew, but we know from their story that in the end it cost them their very lives. And it didn't matter because Jesus had called them to follow. And they said yes. Now that's not easy, is it? It's not easy to forsake everything in order to follow after Jesus. That's why we need the grace of God, his presence with us to change us, because it's his spirit that sets us free. It's his spirit that works in us. As the story of Eustace Shrubb continues along its path, he tries to scrape the dragon scales off of him only to discover that he can't. He's unable to. And then Aslan, the Christ figure, the lion in the story, comes to him and he says, follow me. And Eustace follows after Aslan and they end up at a stream. And it's Aslan in the end who has to strip away the dragon scales from Eustace and turns him back into a boy. See, there are things in us that we want to see changed, but it is God through the gospel who brings about the transformation. And that's why we never mature past the cross. We always need the cross of Christ. And so each day for us becomes an expression of forsaking our idols and surrendering to God's reign in our life by following after Jesus, choosing to follow. God, what are you going to renew in me today? Fishing for people is tied to the coming kingdom back in verses 14 and 15. It's Jesus' announcement that the kingdom is at hand that leads him to this description as fishers of men. It's more than just a clever pun, because in the Old Testament prophets, fishing imagery was used regarding judgment, the judgment of God. So in the Old Testament prophets, it was God who fished in the context of final judgment. But in the New Testament, Jesus picks that up and he extends it to his followers, but with a twist. In his first coming, that we just celebrated in Advent, Jesus came to save sinners. Before he comes again in his second coming to judge sinners. He saves sinners. And then he comes again to judge sinners. And so what Jesus is saying here is that he is going to use his followers not to judge, but to rescue people from the coming judgment. See, this is the day of grace where we can turn and receive a Savior. And so Jesus is after transforming followers into fishers in order to rescue men and women from the wrath of God's judgment. See, now notice that Jesus is going to make them fishers. They're going to become fishers. And this has been God's mission from the beginning, to raise up redeemed worshipers of all nations. And so he calls out followers to participate with him in that mission of gathering in his people. And so we individually and as a church represent God. We represent the reign of God to all those who are around us as we follow after Jesus and we gather in people as we go. That's the mission. Now, here's where this confronts us. Here's where this confronts us. Because if you were like me, you didn't sign up for that. If you were like me, you didn't sign up for that kind of a mission. I trusted in Jesus because I didn't want to go to hell. That's why I trusted in Jesus all those years ago. Now, maybe you trusted because your life was at a dead end. Maybe you trusted because you wanted to be a better version of yourself. Maybe you trusted because you wanted God to fix some situation. I didn't trust God because I wanted to be a part of a mission and a purpose. Verse 17, fill in the blank. Think about when you trusted Christ. And Jesus says, follow me and I will make you what? See, most of us had our own thing. And it wasn't about being a part of God's mission and purpose in this world. We all came to Jesus with different expectations about what God would do. But that's not what's here in the text, is it? God's goal primarily isn't to make you a better version of you or to fix your situation as an end in itself. God is after something much bigger and something much better for you and I. God's goal is to make you new in order to use you in someone else's life to rescue them from coming judgment. See, he wants you to be for someone else what someone else was for you. Because someone was used by God in your life to rescue you from coming judgment. And what God wants to do, because we were all fish, he wants to transform you in order to use you in the life of someone else. Now, I know what you're thinking. Unless you're Porig, you can't catch fish. I can't catch fish. I hate fish. They're slimy, right? And so God wants me to fish for men and women, to fish for people. But listen, here's the really good news. Listen, fishing happens naturally as we follow. As we follow Jesus, God positions us and uses us to fish. See, the command in this text is to follow. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The call is simply to follow. We don't arrive at fishers. He continually makes us and uses us as fishers. Listen, you may not realize this, but you are strategically placed right now, right where you are, to be used by God to draw people in to the kingdom of God. Nobody else has the same context of relationships that you have. You are uniquely and strategically placed right now to fish. And listen, if you want a great exercise for the coming year, let me just challenge you with this. Get out a piece of paper and a pen and make a list of every person that you know. Co-workers, neighbors, family members, friends, every person that you know who is not a believer. Just make a list. Just write their name down. And then begin to pray for those people. And listen, here's what you'll find when you do that. You'll go, it turns out I really do know a lot of people. It turns out I really do rub shoulders and cross paths with a lot of people who don't know Jesus. I challenge you to try it. Make a list and then start to pray for them. See, you are positioned right now to fish. And I don't care how much you think you don't know. These guys in this text that we read, these guys, they didn't know anything about Jesus. They didn't know anything about Jesus. So fishing isn't a byproduct of education or money or worldly success. It's a product of following. Followers become fishers. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to leverage everything that happens in your mundane, ordinary, difficult life for the sake of rescuing people in this day of grace. The things that you think preclude you from being a fisher of men. My life's not that exciting. I'm not a great speaker. I don't know all the details. I'm not a theologian. All those things that you think rule you out are the very things that God wants to use to make you become a fisher. And this is where the gospel confronts us every day, because we have to follow. That's the call. That's the call. And so every day we decide if we will yield to the reign of the king or if we'll follow the fakes into disappointment. Will we settle for less or will we embrace the best? See, disciples faithfully follow and God uses them to fish. Idols can't give us the joy that we are after. They just can't. They can't bear that weight. The good news is that God wants to continually destroy them in our lives so that we can find the fullness of joy that we seek in Christ. So if direction, not intention, determines destination, where is 2019 going to end up for you? In terms of your relationship with Jesus, are you going to end up 1 year from now in the same place you are right now? What a waste. No. God wants to be at work in you as you follow after Jesus. He wants to work in you to make you new. And he wants to work in you to use you to fish, to rescue people around you from coming judgment. Are you willing? Am I willing to every day, moment by moment, choose to follow after Jesus, to follow him, to forsake everything else? To follow. It's an everyday decision. It's a moment by moment decision. It's not something that you sit here today and go, okay, 2019, I'm following Jesus. Rock on. Let's do it. Now you start today. But then at 4 o'clock, you got to decide again. And tomorrow morning at 8, you got to decide again. And at 2, you got to decide again. It's a moment by moment decision to follow. So look, that's what we want to be. A fishing community. A fishing community moving forward as followers of Jesus. Listen, we're not interested in being a storefront where people come and receive religious goods and services. Jesus calls us to more than that. We want to be a community of followers. People who say yes to Jesus in the easy things and in the hard things. Who say yes to Jesus no matter what he calls us to. Followers who are used as fishers. In the lives of our coworkers, in the lives of our neighbors, in the lives of our family members. Who are used to rescue people through the message of the gospel. Faithfully following, fishing along the way. So will you follow? Listen, I do this from time to time. I just made some little cards. They're really simple. Follow Jesus. And there's a little arrow on it. Because following Jesus is dynamic. It's every day choosing to follow him. To give ourselves to him. And there's a whole bunch of these on the back table. Let me just challenge you. Let me just encourage you. Take one or two or three. And just put them somewhere. Put them on your mirror. Everybody looks in the mirror. Some of you more than others, but everybody looks in the mirror. Put one on the mirror as a reminder. This is the call every day to follow Jesus. As we close our time together, we want to have a time of reflection. And Merrick's just going to come and play softly, and we're just going to reflect. And after we have reflected for a few moments, he's going to lead us into a final song, and then we'll be dismissed. But as we go forward into 2019, that's the call. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Let's pray together and ask for his help. Father, as we think about what you want to do in us, renewing us, making us new, using us, God, in your great mission to rescue people from coming judgment. We pray, Father, that I know how big that sounds, and we pray, God, that you would help us just to distill it down into its essence, to follow Jesus. That God, you make us fishers of men. You take care of that. You use us. You do that. God, help us to follow. Every moment, every fork in the road, every decision, every day, to choose to follow. Would you take a few moments just silently, just reflect on what God might be speaking to your heart about?